Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
All right, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're listening on a local Minnesota station across the country on our national broadcast or on your favorite podcast platform, we're definitely glad that you're with us here today. Today, we're live from the Dan Patch stage at the Great Minnesota Get-Together for Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. This is the first of two special shows from the fair, and today we're going to hear from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, every third Saturday, and MDVA's Healthcare Division. And joining me first is my special, and I say special with air quotes around it, Dave Bellify, common spelling. He's the Deputy Commissioner of Administrative Services at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Dave, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. Is the special part because I'm a Navy guy?
Well, I think it could be. I mean, we'll let people make their own determination. But thanks for taking the time out of your day, coming out on a bright early Tuesday morning for Military Appreciation Day here at the Minnesota State Fair. We've got a few guests ahead, and you're going to help me get through the interviews with these guests, and we'll get some good information out to our listening audience. And you know, what I want to do is just kind of start things off with you a little bit here, Dave, and maybe, you know, it's Military Appreciation Day. It's a beautiful day at the State Fair. I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about Military Appreciation Day and really what does it mean to our Minnesota veterans, our service members, the families, and to you personally, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. And it's a beautiful day here at the fair. The vendors are out here. The lineup is fabulous, and we look forward to a really nice morning here at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. So Military Appreciation Day is really dedicated to Minnesota's active duty service members, veterans, and their families by offering recognition. There's special programming. There's discounted admission tickets, family-friendly events. It's really designed to thank service members, connect military members with the resources. As I mentioned, there's vendors out here, and create a welcoming space where military and the public is celebrated.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have a crowd out here with us this morning, too. And you know, for everybody that's listening on the radio or out here checking out these different vendors, maybe you can kind of give a brief overview about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and really what it is that the agency provides to our veterans and their families.
Sure, absolutely. So MDVA, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, from the day you discharge from your service, we are there to assist you in everything from education benefits through veterans preference. We also have some programs that are out there in case you run into a little bit of a tumble, where we can assist with our SSAP program, our State Soldier Assistance Program. We also have our healthcare division operating 8 veterans homes throughout the state, along with the domiciliary program. We have an adult day program, and through perpetuity, our 4 state cemeteries located throughout the state of Minnesota provide dignified burial services.
A lot of information there, Dave, and of course, you know, we could take all day and then some to talk through each of the different benefits, eligibility, and all that kind of stuff, but what is it that you tell people to do if they've got a desire to get more information? Where do you send people? How do they get connected with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Yeah, absolutely. You should always start with your county veterans service officer. You can go out to their website, which is macvso.org, or you can call our Link Vet line, 888-LINK-VET, and those staff members can get you connected to the county veterans service officers. You can also go out to our website, which is minnesotaveteran.org, or, you know, stop by if you're here today. There are many providers, and we have a booth at the State Fair for all 12 days.
All right, awesome. And Dave, before we bring in our first guest, I know that there's something you want to make sure you mention to the listening audience right now about a partnership that is going on right now and some things to help our veterans in the future. So if you want to talk about that real quick, and then we'll bring in our next guest.
Absolutely. So we have the MDVA has a strong partnership with the trades here in Minnesota. So if you're ready to build your future in construction industry, building strong communities, free construction apprenticeship preparatory program starts in February. So recruiting and information sessions are happening now. Please visit buildingstrong.org if you're interested in that.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Dave. Well, let's get into it. And our first guest here, we have had this guest on before. We've had a lot of conversations, and I'm talking about Randall Dietrich, who's the executive director at the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. Randall, first, welcome to the show. But more importantly, how excited are you about next weekend?
Excited beyond words.
Yeah.
There's a lot to come, and we're excited to open September 12 and 13 at Camp Ripley, the new 40,000-square-foot museum on 30 acres dedicated to the listeners, right, the veterans and their families and their stories.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a wonderful day. I know that the event starts earlier than the grand opening. I think you start on September 9th, and just jam-packed. And I know you'll talk a little bit more about that, but what I really want to make sure we get out in this first segment with you is, all right, it's happening, and it's a different environment now in this new facility. What can our listeners or the visitors of this brand-new museum expect when they walk through those doors or even park on the campus?
Yeah. Well, one, we encourage folks to go online and buy tickets to see the gallery in advance electronically because those tickets will sell out. We've sold out for the morning of our opening already, so more ticket blocks are available. So please purchase your tickets online in advance. When they do walk in, they're going to be greeted by docents who are here at the here at the State Fair right now, actually. Docents have been training at our museum for the last 6 to 9 months. Buddy Wynn, a familiar name to all of you.
Oh, Buddy. As a matter of fact, he probably brought the great weather today.
Oh, Buddy. Yeah. So Buddy has been training our docents and getting them in line and doing peer reviews. So that to your question, what can they expect? More often than not, they're going to be greeted by a docent when they walk through the door. And they are a volunteer who have committed their time to be aware of what the museum has to offer, help visitors make connections between their own interests and what we have to really enrich that experience. So the human element is something that we lead with at the museum. And then there's a number of really important theater environments, right? The first one is our orientation theater, and that orientation theater really does focus on the oath of enlistment, right? The foundation for all of the service that is provided, demonstrated over the years, starts with that oath of enlistment. So a six-minute video hearing from different veterans dating back to World War II veterans about what that oath means, how it unites us, and how it sets the stage for the service that's rendered.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, Dave, what a great opportunity. I mean, you know, a place to also tell the stories of our Minnesota veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. Randall, I've been with the agency for 20 years, so I know that this project has been decades in the making. Can you explain how this project has come about, and then we're at the point of making this facility a new reality?
Yeah, it has been a long process. Again, our museum's been on post for five decades, right? Veterans voting with their feet for 50 years, bringing items, their stories into our museum on post, and we ran out of space to showcase those items long ago, as your listeners probably know if they've been to the museum. This new space, completely different. We moved from a 5,000-square-foot facility to a 40,000-square-foot facility with dedicated galleries from the Civil War through the Global War on Terror. And how it came about really was the generosity of an awful lot of people stepping up, including a local landowner donating 30 acres right off the highway next to that cemetery that we're very much committed to working in partnership with in Little Falls, the Veterans Cemetery, and Camp Ripley. So that donation, our board being involved at the state capitol, securing those funds of $32 million to design and build, private individuals stepping up and donating millions more, and, of course, that effort is always ongoing. It's never going to stop. But those are the kinds of pieces that came together to create what your listeners will be able to experience at our museum starting September 12th.
Now, Randall, when I joined the military back in 1987 and I first started going to Camp Ripley, I thought then that the museum space was too small. Yeah. And just talking with the people working there, they're like, yeah, we can't put everything out. I remember walking into all the different little tin huts. Yep. How long have you been with the museum?
9 years.
9 years. So when do you think it was that really we've realized we're way out of space and you had to start planning for the future?
Well, I mean, we ran out of space prior to 9/11, right?
Yeah.
So before 2001, the museum was out of space. So how do you tell the story of 40,000-plus 9/11 veterans in Minnesota? You don't in a space that's already full.
Yeah.
And so the impetus the motivation to open this new facility is pretty clear when the stories post 9/11 don't have a place.
Yeah.
In this new museum, they have a profound place and is explored, I think, in a thoughtful kind of way that really will ground people in the understanding of how that 25-year conflict started on that day. And again, Minnesotans being on the front line, even on 9/11, they were in the planes, in the Pentagon, in the towers that morning, and we go into that story in depth.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hey, Randall, Dave, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. I want to talk more about the museum, talk about the grand opening and all the festivities that are going on. Great to be out here at the Minnesota State Fair. Thank you all for being here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Location out at the Minnesota State Fair, Military Appreciation Day. We are in Dan Patch Park recording two shows that will play over the next couple of weeks. I've got a co-host with me, Dave Bellify from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we've been talking to Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, and we want to get into some of the sites people are going to see up there. Randall and Dave was begging me to be able to ask this next question to you, and so I'm just going to sit back, take a drink of water, and let Dave take over.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Doug, and welcome everybody again to Military and Veteran Appreciation Day at the State Fair. As you're driving up 371 North, I'm originally from the big town of Baxter, Minnesota, so driving by, you see very striking things emerging from the ground and also that are on the ground. So the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, which is a submarine that I was actually on when I was at Submarine Group 8 in Naples, Italy, serving back in the day. But we have that sail and that rudder coming out of the ground, which is just an awesome view as you're looking over your shoulder driving up 371. So let's talk about all of the outside, the striking, the aircraft, the tanks, the vehicles, and really what does that mean?
Sure. It's taking advantage of the fact that Minnesotans love to be outdoors, right? The design of the building is meant to open up onto a Veterans Plaza and a parade ground. We've already hosted change of command ceremonies there. There's going to be a promotion in October on that parade ground. And then, as you mentioned, on the south end of the property off of Highway 115, emerging from the prairie, is the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul submarine. Working with the governor's office 5 years ago, received permission to go and get those pieces from that that process in Bremerton, Washington, and to display it with the guidance of an awful lot of Navy veterans and submariners in particular. Our museum is dedicated to all service branches, and having a submarine out there, I think, speaks to that. And earlier this month, about 10 days ago, we moved an F-16 out there. So working with our Air National Guard friends, located a nice jet fighter to complement what's already there, which is an impressive collection of tanks and other pieces. So.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, you had mentioned in the last segment, Randall, that, 40,000 veterans since 9/11 or 9/11 veterans. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, you know, 40,000 square feet of a facility coming from 5,000. I don't know. Is that enough space to still tell all the stories? And if so, or if not, what stories are you going to actually represent? And then how will you make sure that other stories will be able to be told throughout the year or years ahead?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's never enough space, right? We want to be good curators, the best curators we can be, to tell the stories that are emblematic of something bigger than themselves in some instances. At the same time, you know, beyond our dedicated gallery spaces that folks should explore, we do have temporary exhibit room, so we'll bring in special exhibits on loan from other museums around the country. To honor veteran reunions that we'll be hosting at Camp Ripley as well. So we do have some spaces that can be repurposed and house additional stories for a specific anniversary date or a reunion or whatever does, you know, whatever is to come in the future moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got quite a few people out here listening in, walking through, checking out all these vendor booths, and, you know, some are half listening, some are really intently listening out there. But maybe you can just tell this quick story. Why? Why does this even matter? Why do we need to keep telling these stories or have a dedicated space like we do with the Minnesota Military and Veteran Museum?
Oh, there's just so much to be proud of, I think. You know, understanding that Minnesotans have repeatedly found themselves in the front line of history is so key. From the Civil War and the Battle of Gettysburg to firing the first shots of the Second World War, right, to being the first boots on the ground in Afghanistan, General Joseph Votel, leading Operation Rhino in response to the 9/11 attack. There's so much to learn from that. And, you know, I like to reflect sometimes that the museum is as much about the future as it is about the past, meaning we're there to inform and inspire young people. Right, to learn from the past, the good, the bad, the otherwise, to be better leaders moving forward, to be better prepared, to be always ready. I want our museum to be part of the process of folks having a better understanding of what the past is to better prepare for the future.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great story. I think it's important. And so, you know, everybody out here listening and people listening on the program at your local station or podcast or whatever, I mean, get up there and visit this fantastic facility. I know that you're excited about that. And before we get to all those details, Dave really wants to jump in and talk about something else as we look at the future of this museum.
Sure, absolutely. And just a comment that you said. So the USS Ward gun was moved from St. Paul there. And many of you may not know, the USS Ward gun fired the first shots of World War II. And those were Minnesotans that were on that ship. So it's nice to have that up there. But as we talk about this, where's the vision? Where do you see this museum, say, 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now?
Sure. Well, in many ways, I hope we can have a more steady presence in hometowns across the state of Minnesota, for that matter. We want folks to come to the flagship museum in the heart of the state at Camp Ripley. Perfect location, right? Everybody is equal distance in some ways to come and see this. But I also hope that we, as a museum, are able to have a greater presence in Laverne, in Lake City, in Duluth, right? On an ongoing basis to keep this momentum going. It's all about relationships, and I want to make sure that that museum serves to build relationships by having folks come to the museum as groups, and also for our team of docents that we talked about and others to go out there and engage people in their hometowns, on their main streets, to share the stories of Minnesota men and women dating back to the Civil War.
Now, Randall, you talked about, you know, having this expanded footprint. Let's just talk about the campus right now, though.
Yeah.
Do you have plans in place for additional construction or additional pieces to come on the grounds as well?
We do have plans if we, you know, 10 years from now, if we're going to expand, that the design of the building is meant to support that. We have a plan. Which direction would you go? How would you do that? The building infrastructure is set up to support that. So,
all right, good. Well, yeah, because we don't want to have that brand new soldier or airman visiting in year 2026 saying, man, this space is too small. And then we got to wait for, I don't do public math, but a long time before we get a bigger facility. So, hey, let's talk about the grand opening. We've only got about 3.5 minutes here, 3 minutes. Why? Why are we making such a big deal about this grand opening, other than the fact that it's a new museum?
Well, you know, it's the 25th anniversary of 9/11 coming up, right? An important anniversary. You know, 180,000 people signed up, enlisted after 9/11 to serve the nation. It was instrumental in the lives of a lot of people. And taking time to pause on this anniversary that does coincide with the completion of our museum made sense to open it then. In the Little Falls area, there's a very popular arts festival, craft fair down the street, so we're running buses back and forth. We're going to peel off some of that audience, send them up to the museum. So there's a method to this. But using this anniversary 25 years out and identifying, again, those 40,000 post-9/11 veterans and giving them a place to come and see their stories, a permanent space, not a temporary space. This is a permanent space for those 40,000-plus 9/11 veterans. They say nothing of the Vietnam and Korean veterans and World War II vets. So yeah. A lot going on.
So it's a 3-day public event, Friday on September 11th. There's a ceremony starting on. I'll be up there with you all, yep, providing some MC duties as we celebrate the 25th anniversary. And then, of course, you've got the 12th and the 13th. Tickets are important, isn't it?
Yeah, menvetmuseum.org. Paul Nakasone, four-star general, will be speaking on Saturday. On Sunday, Rod Rodriguez, president and CEO of the National Global War on Terrorism Memorial, being located right now next to the Vietnam Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial, is speaking on Sunday. Bringing him here from a national perspective to speak in our museum made a lot of sense. So
and Buddy Wynn said that it's going to be a beautiful weekend, great weather up there for the big grand opening. So it's a 3-day event again, and ceremony on the 11th. What time is that starting?
Yeah, there's a ceremony that morning that we're doing, and then at 1 o'clock tickets open up for the general public.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we're really looking forward to getting out there, Randall, and you know, again, give us the website where people can go to get more information and get tickets for the grand opening.
Sure. MNVetMuseum.org. MNVetMuseum.org.
There you go. All right, Randall, thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Dave, well, we're going to take another quick break. We'll come back. We're going to get to another nonprofit organization supporting veterans. We'll talk to them a little bit, and then we'll bring someone from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs back in. We'll talk about health care. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Here we are out at the Minnesota State Fair for the Great Minnesota Get-Together. It's Military Appreciation Day. We're in Dan Patch Park, and we're recording the first of two of our shows that'll play out over the next couple of weeks. My special co-host from the Navy is Dave Bellify with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And, Dave, you were pretty excited to talk about some of that Navy stuff with Randall Dietrich.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to bring a little bit of Navy to the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Not a lot of water around here to get them boats on. Well, other than Superior, but I guess that counts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, hey, let's get into the conversation with our next guest. Every third Saturday is an organization. It began in 2009. Tom and Jesse McKenna, they started helping veterans in need. The organization grew out of a grassroots outreach effort and initially focused on meeting veterans where they were and then providing what's called practical support. Tom, you're a Marine Corps veteran, and you're here to talk to us a little bit about every third Saturday. So, Tom, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Happy to be here, and it's just a great day, beautiful day at the fair.
Yeah, no, I've ran into you before. You were at an event it was at a farm. What the heck? Sutton Ridge, I think.
That's right.
Is where we first met. You were doing what you're doing now, and that is out meeting with the community and sharing a little bit about what every third Saturday is. And before we get into the organization and talk more about how it began and why, give us a quick, brief intro of you and your service.
Sure. I was in the Marine Corps from 1993 to 1996. I was in an infantry unit and then moved to something called a fast company. And I was injured in Iraq on a personal security detail.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for your service, and thanks for what you do. And so obviously, I'm assuming that that's what led you to start thinking about this organization you wanted to create and start, this nonprofit called Every Third Saturday. So why don't you kind of give us the background of why really you started it and what its purpose is?
It started with a conversation with a homeless veteran. He was on the side of the road with a sign that said, "Homeless veteran, please help." And I didn't quite understand the concept. I grew up in New York. I was very familiar with homeless people, obviously familiar with veterans, but the combination struck me. And so I pulled over to the side of the road and asked him what he needed, and I thought he was going to say money, and he didn't. He said, "I need some underwear and socks." He said, "I haven't been able to change my clothes in a week." And so we went to the local Walmart, got him some underwear and socks, and never saw that veteran again. I wish I could find him and meet him and let him know what he sparked, because it sparked a movement to help distribute items to veterans throughout the Twin Cities.
Wow. I mean, what an amazing story. And, you know, obviously you got a special place in your heart then for our veterans, and to see this combination of a homeless veteran, and we know we've got other organizations that support homeless veterans, and I know, Dave, at the MDVA, homelessness is one of the major issues of the MDVA as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a very robust program partnering with many entities out there. So, yeah, thanks for your service, and thank you for that story.
Thank you.
All right, Dave, let's go on. I know that there's something that, you know, all of us here want to know about, and I'm teeing you up to push this question out the door.
Sure, absolutely. So Tom, let's talk about that experience of folks walking through the door of Every Third Saturday. So what kind of help are they going to find? What is their experience?
So the first thing they're going to find is a smile. And that sounds a little bit cliche.
Well, especially coming from a Marine veteran.
Yes.
Right? It's not my smile. But first thing is a smile. The front desk person is the most important person in our kind of engagement with the veteran. It's hard to walk through the doors of a service provider as a veteran. There's pride involved. There's different things involved. And so we want them to feel welcome, first and foremost. And it's about community. It's we're not programmatic. We're community oriented, although we do have activities. So the veteran walks through the door. We engage with them, see what it is that they came in for. We have them fill out a little bit of information just so we have some background. And then we issue them an ID card, an ETS ID card. And while it's not good for veterans discounts or anything like that, the idea is that they become a member of our organization. You have this card that has your picture on it, has your branch on it, and your name. And so the card is important to establish themselves as part of the community.
Yeah, now you talk about the community and, you know, the community of every third Saturday. And, you know, how do you apply this focus, though, right? I mean, okay, the ID card is one way in which you can do it, right? So is it about the internal community, or do you have partnerships and relationships or connections outside of that to continue to provide resources and assistance to the veterans that might need it?
So that initial conversation lets us establish, is this veteran housed or homeless? Is this veteran financially strapped? Is food insecurity an issue? Mental health, substance abuse, what could be going on? And then we can refer to the appropriate partner if we need to, whether it's the VA, MACV, various other organizations that we work with.
And are you finding that most of the veterans you're working with are just recently transitioning, or is it any time since they've left service?
It's any time since they've left service. We've seen a transition from the population being mainly Vietnam-era veterans. As they age, we're seeing younger and younger faces come through the door. And so what we have is various levels of engagement where a veteran can plug in where they're comfortable. They can just have a cup of coffee and talk to no one if they want. And sometimes that's the first step. Yeah. They can just come in, have a place to calm the chaos of life, have a cup of coffee, have a snack, and then inevitably they get into a conversation with another veteran or a member of our staff, and it grows from there, and we have different levels of engagement where they can plug in and up to and including even working for the organization.
Yeah. All right, Dave.
Yeah, Tom, you shared a powerful message on why you started every third Saturday. Can you explain or talk about some other moments and that reminds you of why every third Saturday exists now?
Absolutely. So one that always stands out is a veteran named Ray. Ray, we didn't always have a building. We now have a facility near the VA Medical Center. That's our home and where we conduct our activities. But for a while, we were out in the VA Medical Center parking lot, just with trailers and card tables, giving out items. And Ray was someone who came frequently. And then he kind of disappeared on us. And that happens. Veterans, they move, they go to treatment, different things happen. But Ray came back about a year and a half after we had last seen him. And he called me and my wife, Jessie, aside and said, I just wanted to let you know that I was going to kill myself. But because of the way you guys treated me, I decided to keep going on. And that was, we all teared up. We all had that emotional moment, like, wow, that's really...
Well, we can see the emotion in your voice or hear it in your voice and see it on your face right now, as I'm sure our listening audience can here at the fair as well. And we've only got a little bit of time, and I want to ask two other quick things. There's someone out there right now, a veteran out there right now that might be struggling. What do you want to say to them?
That you have hope. You have options. The antidote to suicide is community, and you always have an option to come and join the community at ETS or other organizations that are represented here at the fair today.
I'm tracking that you've got a Stay in the Fight walk coming up on the 26th of September. Is that right?
That's right.
You're doing a 2.3-mile walk out at Vikings Lakes, and you're wanting to raise awareness around veteran suicide. 2.3 miles is very deliberate. Why?
23 veterans a day, 22 veterans, one service member. The number, of course, is very difficult to pin down, but that's a generalized figure.
So. And Tom, where do we send people to get more information if they want to support your organization or get more info about Every Third Saturday?
They can go to everythirdsaturday.org and read about our various services.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for what you're doing to take care of our veterans, Tom. Really appreciate it. Thanks for being here on Minnesota Military Radio. Again, ladies and gentlemen, everythirdsaturday.org if you'd like to support the organization. Dave, it's time to take another quick break, and then we'll come back. We're going to get into the MDVA again and talk about some health care. This is Minnesota Military Radio. I'll be right back. Holden. All right, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio out here at the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. We're in Dan Patch Park, and we are recording the first of two shows that will play out later on. And Dave Bellify is my co-host today. And Dave, we're heading into the fourth segment here, and we're coming back to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. There's been some changes at the MDVA, specifically in the healthcare division. We now have an assistant commissioner, and as the new deputy commissioner of administrative services, I thought you should do the introduction of the assistant commissioner of healthcare.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. It is my pleasure to welcome Diane Lynch DeCombs, the assistant commissioner for our healthcare division at MDVA. She's a trusted colleague, and we chat often, believe it or not. So she started last year. And she is the supervisor and leader over our 8 veterans homes and works very closely with the whole healthcare executive team. She's the past president of the National Association of State Veterans Homes, so that's a big kudos to her, a very powerful organization, national organization. She has over 20 years experience. We kind of cherry-picked her from Wisconsin, so it was nice for her to move back across to this side of the river. And she is deeply committed to serving veterans, ensuring high-quality, person-centric care. And as I mentioned, she was the administrator over in the state of Wisconsin, overseeing multiple campuses there. Just into her little education here, she has an MBA from St. Thomas and a BA as a healthcare nursing administrator. So, Diane, welcome to the great Minnesota Get Together, Minnesota Military Radio, and please introduce yourself.
Thanks, Dave. Well, you've covered the vast majority of it.
I didn't think he was ever going to end. I thought we were going to have to just go right into the closing.
Well, that was a good intro, and he covered the vast majority. Like Dave said, I'm here to support the 8 state veterans homes and the leaders that run their day-to-day operations and make sure that they have the tools and resources that they need to provide quality care to our veterans.
Now, Diane, I imagine that when you interviewed for the job and you were offered the job, part of the reason why you were very excited not only to leave Wisconsin to come to Minnesota, but to come into the healthcare division with the MDVA is because our homes, the Minnesota Veterans Homes, they've been recognized in multiple ways quite a long time. And I'm just wondering if you would just share some of that recognition that our homes have received so that our listening audience understands the quality care they can expect that the veterans would receive if they become residents there.
Yeah. So you're right, Doug. Our Minnesota State Veterans Homes have been recognized through U.S. World and News Report and CMS, as well as other entities that do rating scores on long-term care. One of the things that I think really drives the quality of care that we are able to provide in our Minnesota veterans' homes is the investment that Minnesota has made through appropriations. Those appropriations lend themselves to us having quality and higher levels of staffing, additional programming, training for our staff, and really quality environments. And then the staff that we have a lot of staff that have worked for MDVA for a long time. They're invested in the quality care for veterans, and they really have a passion for providing quality care. That recognition reflects the combination of both the appropriations and the commitment of our staff. So, yes, absolutely happy to have joined an organization that is recognized on a national level for the quality of care that we deliver.
And, Dave, that really says a lot about the leadership over in the healthcare division of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Obviously, the emphasis to provide that high-quality care as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see it every day with our veterans and our surveys of our families and our veterans. So high marks out there. Diane, I have a question for you, though. So What are the eligibility requirements if somebody is listening now and they wonder, how can I get into one of our 8 veterans' homes? Mm-hmm. And then how would they go about applying for a spot?
Yeah, so eligible veterans, you can find eligibility requirements on our webpage, are guided by statute, and starts with an honorable discharge. And then there are some service, length of service, and residency requirements. And that is what guides us is the Minnesota Statute 9050. Veterans who need skilled care, that is what we provide is skilled care, could be eligible for our services as well as their spouses. So we'd be happy to support a veteran who's looking at do they meet those eligibility requirements. We'd be happy to help walk them through that process. We also have other services that are available if you're not quite ready for long-term care, such as our adult day.
Now, Diane, we know that there's a waiting list for most, if not all, of the veterans' homes. We also know that you're in a constant hiring process. Mm-hmm. You've got positions you want to fill. But let's talk about those veterans who want to become a resident. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're still on the waiting list, and they just haven't been received yet. What kind of resources or how do you help those people that are still waiting to get into one of the veterans' homes?
Yeah, so we're happy to help with eligibility type requirements, getting documents secured, et cetera, prior to moving up on those wait lists or towards admissions. If you're in the Twin Cities metro area, we do have an adult day center known as the Vets Club in our Minneapolis campus. And so if you're waiting, for example, on the Minneapolis list, this Vets Club gives you the opportunity as a veteran to go spend the day with other veterans doing different activities and having meals together. It also provides a respite for your family member who is probably your primary caregiver when you're still living out in the community. If you're in a non-metro area, outstate, I would check with your CVSO. They're likely to know the best resources there in your immediate community while you're waiting to get placement in one of our homes.
All right, so you mentioned the CVSO is a great starting point, MinnesotaVeteran.org, LinkVet.
I think
we talk about LinkVet all the time, so 888-LINKVET is another place to go. Diane, when you think about what you're doing now, serving our Minnesota veterans, working within the healthcare division at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, what brings you joy every day to get up and come to work and keep doing this job?
Yeah, in my particular role, I really feel passionate about making sure that the folks that work in our homes, from the entire scheme of the folks that support the operations, have the tools and resources that they need. The work we do is sometimes challenging, and we want to make sure that they feel supported, heard, again, that they have the tools and resources, that we're providing quality care, following the regulations that guide our work. We are a highly regulated industry, and so just wanting to make sure that every day we're giving all the tools and resources that we can to those that are working within our homes. Yeah. And supporting the veterans who have served our country and made this country free.
Yeah. So. Well, as we're wrapping up, any final thoughts, any final message you want to give to our listening audience out here at the State Fair or our listening audience out there in Radio Land?
Yeah. Well, if you're a veteran, look at our webpage. We have resources, not just regarding the homes, but other programs and services, and we are here to help you and happy to do so. If you happen to be a job seeker, we have 8 state veterans homes around the state, and we are always looking for dedicated and qualified staff.
And some of those jobs are OJT jobs as well.
Yeah.
So all sorts of opportunities for people if they want to get into the healthcare and support Minnesota veterans. So
absolutely.
Diane, thanks so much for coming on Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate you hanging out with us and talking a little bit. And let's give Diane a round of applause, everybody. All right, perfect. We can hear that. Dave, we've got just under a minute here together. Great team over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Any final thoughts or message to our crew out here at the Minnesota State Fair and listening on the radio later on?
No, led by our great commissioner, Brad Lindsay, we have about 1,900 dedicated staff who are serving Minnesota's veterans in all 87 counties. So please, if you Want to reach out, minnesotaveteran.org or 888-LINK-VET. Thank you all for your service, and it's a beautiful day again at the fair, Doug.
Yeah, thanks. It certainly is, and I just want to remind everybody one more time about those who are interested in building their future in the construction industry, buildingstrong.org, construction apprenticeships starting soon. Go check it out. All right. Hey, before we end the show today, I do want to thank my co-host, Mr. Dave Bellify. Again, common spelling on Bellify. Of course, all of our guests who joined us here on Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Thanks for listening to Minnesota Military Radio. We always welcome your feedback. We welcome your guest suggestions. Visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Click on Contact Us. You can also catch up on past episodes there or on your favorite podcast platform. Next week, we continue our coverage from Military Appreciation Day here at the Minnesota State Fair with the second of two special shows recorded live here at Dan Patch Park. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week, and please take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.